I tell you right now, my message has already been spoken. Some of it, what was shared this morning. That's how you know you're working together. When people preaching your message before you get up. It's already written on the paper. And not something we're agreeing with, but something already made in the heavenlies. Already. This week, made in the heavenlies. And so, we appreciate... I'm going to tell you something, folks. And this is bragging a little bit, okay? I'm going to brag a little bit. Brag about this place. You have a, before you, whether you know it or not, you have generals in faith, proved and tried by the storms of life. And when they talk, you need to listen. See, I grew up in the anointing. I know when anointing's on folk. I know when it's them, and I know when it's the anointing. You know, some people like to watch airplanes land, and they get all excited. They go up and watch. Some people like to watch ball games and football games, and nothing wrong with that. Some people like to watch birds, but what gets me is when I watch somebody get anointed. I get off with that. I get happy with that. I get excited with that. That's like a touchdown to me, man. Like going to a Falcon game when they score, whenever they do, amen. It's like the Braves when you go up there and hit a home run and all the fireworks go off. That's what's happening to me when I see the anointing on somebody. I know it's God speaking to me, and I listen.
Amen.
Because He's got the truth and only the truth for your life. I'm gonna tell you right now, today this message is for mature audiences only. Not talking about age now. I'm talking about mature in the Lord. And sometimes you got a vast kind of people on Sunday. You got babies. You got babies in the Lord. You got people growing in the Lord. And then there's sometimes you have to give a message to the me, the people who are leading the way, the people who are before you. And so I know there'll be something in here for everybody, but mostly today it'll be me. If you're a wino, not a wino, but a wino, you're going to have a trouble with this message, I tell you right now. If you're a person of excuses, you are in trouble. I have never seen the time in which we live that somehow, I don't know how, we raised up a generation, some of us, we raised up a generation that are the world's best at excuses. We always blaming somebody else about our situation. Right. Listen to me now, I'm not here to beat you up. It's all going to come together because the truth is what makes us free. And I'm not putting no names on this. You're looking in a mirror. If the mirror points back to you, so be it. If your face ain't in this mirror, throw it away. But if you see yourself in what I'm talking, deal with it. We have a generation on this planet that makes all excuses about everything. Can I hear amen? Mama made me this way. Daddy made me this way. Somebody hurt me along this way and made me this way. And that might be so, but you don't have to stay that way. One thing about mom and dad, and especially grandma and grandpa, they were people who worked long and hard for what they got. Their mentality was, nobody owes me nothing. Some way they read the Bible and understand, I'm preaching now, that men shall... you know, earn a living by the sweat of his brow. So if you ain't sweating, you ain't making a living. Oh, wow. Their mentality was, they don't, you know, mom and dad and pop and them, they never said nothing about nobody owing them no money. They made their money hard. They work, when we working now, and it's, they're trying to figure out how to put American people on a short work week, 32 hours. We can't handle 40. Our grandfathers worked from sunup to sundown. Add all that up. At least 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, 72 hours every week they were born. They worked. And they worked hard. They didn't have a four-row planter. They had to plant the seed, cover it up, fertilize it, and do everything they did. They didn't have air conditioning. They didn't have the jacuzzis. They didn't have every day go get a massage. They didn't have all the luxuries we have today, but they worked for a living. Amen. I'm going somewhere, and this needs to be said in this season that we're in. They worked for what they had. Glory to God. John chapter 10, the Bible says when anytime a person don't come through the door and try to come in some other way, they're a thief. It's almost devilish to think that somebody owes you something. Don't nobody owe you nothing but love. Yeah. It's all over the place. Our government owes us something. People owe me something. The church sure owes me something. They're just full of money. When I needed the money, they owe it to me. That's devilish. Nobody owe you nothing. Turn and tell somebody. Say, don't nobody help me with this. Y'all not looking at me right. Tell somebody. Nobody owe you nothing but love. Lord, to God, I got a generation with hands out than rather up. Anytime you got hands out, you worshiping whatever's around you. Put your hands up to God. He's the one who will see you through this day we're living in. Man, y'all keep praising like, oh, I'm going to have to study a lot more. Amen. I have to dig deep, get in that anointing. Glory to God. Recess is over. Playtime is over. Some of you still waiting for the bell to ring, so you go out to recess. So come on. Recess is over, man. It's almost every man for himself in a good way. Because if you got other people in your way, you're not going to obtain what God wants for you. It's every man for himself with God. So get out of your mind, people owe you something. The blame game is over. It won't fly no more. People ain't going to feel sorry for you. What does sorry, feeling sorry for you ever do for your life? What does somebody really say, I know what you're going through? I mean, it makes people mad now. It used to say, well, you know, somebody's going through it. It makes people mad now because they want to have a better testimony of sadness and gloom and doom and, oh, I had it. I did have it, but I lost it. Well, everybody's lost something along the way. And I feel for everybody that has. There's some things even in the blessings I have now that I lost along the way that I'll never able to get it back. So I have to move on. Say move on.
Move on.
Move on to a brighter, better day. And it's possible. It's possible to have a better day. Possible. I'm going to speak to some things this morning. It's 90% of God's people on the edge of depression. That's probably low. Depression means you see no hope, no future, no way out. It's going to be the same forever. And God never said that in His Word. He says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he falls, though he has some circumstances that knock him down, and he falls down and loses this and loses that, the Lord said he won't be utterly cast down, for the Lord will uphold him, pick him up by his right hand of mercy. I tried to tell a group of people, they asked me one time at a church, a large church, interviewing me to be on TV. They said, what is prosperity? I said, knowing the Lord. And they moved to somebody else. Having the Lord is prosperity. Having the Lord is prosperity. Not having cars, diamonds, Rolexes, all the above. It's knowing the Lord intimately. And hearing the voice of the Lord. As long as you hear the Lord, you can come out of anything. Anything. Say anything. With every temptation, the Lord has made a way of escape. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just getting wound up. We're going to get there. Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, God will never rescue a person who thinks the world owes him something. God will never rescue a person who thinks the world or somebody owes them something. God wants you to stand on your own two feet. I'm preaching kingdom today. I'm preaching church today. I'm preaching kingdom. Kingdom represents responsibility. The king and his kingdom. Rule and reign of Creator God. That, oh man, if we could just get away with that mentality that, oh me, why knows? Winos, and find some praisers, worshipers. Lord, what would God do among us? Amen. He found 2 Timothy. I'm moving in. That was just a warm-up. Say, that's a warm-up. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, talking to believers, son of God, woman of God, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. This is Paul talking to the young Timothy, the pastor. The same commend thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. There's so much in here. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Verse 4 in the Message Bible says, a soldier on duty doesn't get caught up in making deals at the marketplace. He concentrates on carrying out orders. I really believe this with all my heart, that we are receiving orders from headquarters. God is speaking to his people in this season. We are on the threshold of something great. I'm not just running my gums. There was a time I preached by faith. In those times of taking my house and losing my cars and all the valuable things that I gained in the world and coming up, there were times that I preached, yes, prosperity by faith. But this is the time I know I'm living by faith. It's a whole different ball game when you're living by faith. When manifestation comes to your house, it changes everything about your life. And we are living in the days of manifestation. Amen. Just listen to me. We are. We don't need to be caught up in making deals in the marketplace. What do you mean, Pastor? We don't need to be entering into the voices that are around us on our jobs or in the marketplace. When they say we're in a recession, you should speak up. Not me. What are you talking about? God doesn't have a recession in his kingdom. God has overflow, more than enough to take care of his people. So we don't need to get carried away in all that negativism and all that stuff going around on TV, that doom and gloom. We need to plug in, say plug in, to headquarters and get our orders. As a good soldier, we are close to greatness. You don't know how close you are for greatness. That's how I can preach with confidence. Is that I know that there've been times, like I said, I preached by faith. There are times now I'm preaching in faith. I have an assurance in the Holy Spirit, in my knowing that the church, in the midst of these trying times that we've never faced, when it's so hard to do, it's so hard to some folks to give because they never realized, never were taught about giving. And so now in this midst of this recession, it's so hard for them to get involved in the things of God because of so much negativism going around. It's in this time that we're living in that we're entering into greatness. It might just be that there needs to be a bowel movement in the house of God. All through the Bible, God did things to separate His people from the world. We're wheat. We're not Barlow. We're not crabgrass. Forget this thing about, you know, we're all one in the Lord. Well, fooey on that. I'm not one with a Hare Krishna. I'm not one with a Buddhist. I'm not one with anybody that don't serve Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, I have to love them. I have to treat them right. But they're not my brother. They're not my sister. And I'm not going to get myself in a room with them trying to worship. But I only worship the one true and living God. Amen. That's the Most High God. We are in the season of greatness. Glory to God. Some of us have sowed so much and sacrificed so much to get here that we have to understand in this season of greatness, this is when the enemy comes in with his junk and tries to get us in the marketplace and rather than get us in the position to receive orders. You understand? To get us looking at the negativism in the world. Gets us to look at the lack and the defeat and despondent and rejection and all that and get us out of our place so we don't receive the orders from headquarters. And once you get a word from God, that's all you need anyway. Because in that word, there is everything you need to bring it to pass. All the money you need, all the peace you need, all the resources you need, everything is in that word you get. It is embalmed with faith. You don't have to work it up, try it, get it. You just relax and rest when you get a real word from God. This is walking water time. Brother Jeff preached on that a long time ago. It's time to get out of the boat and walk on the water. When you hear the Lord say, be it, don't take a moment thought about it. Get out of the boat, walk on the Word. Walk on the water. Well, really, Peter wouldn't walk on the Word. Walking on the Word. You can walk on the Word. You can't walk on nothing but the Word today. It's forever settled in heaven. Hallelujah. See, this is a season you don't watch out. You get frustrated right here because it's right here. You said it. We are in birthing position. We are right now fixing to. You better understand what I'm saying is now's the time you don't pull back. Now's the time you push. That's what they tell me now. I had a kidney stone and I pushed. They say a kidney stone back like a baby. I did everything in the world to push that thing out. When you're in birthing position, you don't withhold. You put pressure on that baby to push it out. And we was talking about Chad always been shy and hide behind people. Well, Penny was in 21 hours of false labor. Chad didn't want to come out then. He hides now. That's his nature. He don't want to come out, but he's coming out. Say, he's coming out. The baby's being... This is the season that you... Watch out, because when I've been in the rooms when Mama's birthing, she's saying all kind of junk. You thought she loved you before she had that baby. But when she's pushing that baby out, where's that man at? I'm going to get you. I'll never have another baby in my life. What'd you do this to me for? Ah! They say they're going to kill you. They don't love you. But that's just pain. Frustration. They want the baby out. See, that's where we're at now. Some of you, Some of us have already entered in, got past that. We know where we're at. But some of you just got your breakthrough. Some of you, your baby is forming, coming out. And you're looking around and say, well, you know, I have my breakthrough. But well, come on now, Lord. Come on now. This is when the season, you watch your mouth. You just push. You just start breathing hard. And push. Ladies, help me push. How you doing? No, don't do that. It's kind of like when you get old, you know, you have to do the same thing. Any old folk go, I know you got to take some metamucil, whatever it is. Kind of helps you. So you don't have to push out everything in you, you know. All them hemorrhoids and all that stuff out. I know some of you can't stand that, but you get your attention, man. I'm preaching. I preach where you can live it. Know what I'm talking about. I want you to know what I'm talking about. When I leave this place. No doubt what Pastor Mike said. He said it all. Amen. I want you to know. So we're in that push position. We're birthing greatness. We're birthing seeds that have been sown over lifetimes. This is a seed. Yes, sir. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. I can tell you. I remember when we had no place to worship but a store. That we met up with an old black preacher in town. And he had a church. We began to talk about it. He said, you know, I can't worship up on the top floor because my floor joints are breaking and we have to get on the bottom floor and it's so dangerous. Spirit of God said, go fix that church. We took a group of men over there and we put in big old beams and propped up that church and painted the whole inside. Got all that ready for that preacher, and we had a revival there, and he got all his people back on top. I don't know what that is, but pick it up afterwards. Amen. It wet my teeth. Hallelujah. But that was sowing for this day, sowing for this time. I've been to churches that were hot. When I got through, go home, write a check, give it to them. Now put you in central air. I've done it. I did it. I've been to churches where the air conditioners tear up. I said, call somebody out. I didn't even have a building myself. Sweating in my own building. But I knew the principle of sowing. Yes. Sacrificing. Giving. Yes. Brother Al said the other day when he started his ministry, we were the only people that, and he grew up in a wealthy church at the time. We the only church that sowed into him. Amen. The tools he needed to get started. I didn't even really know Brother Al, but I believed anybody want to preach, put them out there. Amen. I remember two boys wanted to preach on the streets. You remember that time we bought them microphones and everything they could go out on the street, turn it wide open so people can hear you. Didn't have enough money to put in a pot. But we knew that's what we're supposed to do. We sold for the hour, and this is the product of all that faithful sowing.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lord.
And sacrifice and giving of cars and shotguns and houses and valuables. And oh, there was a time in our church, and we ain't entered into that now. We don't think people think we don't have to do that anymore. But there are times that even when there is money, you still have to sacrifice when God says give. There have been times that people gave in diamond rings and the offering. I say I went through that time where people really got free.
Amen.
Y'all all right? We're gonna be all right. I'm preaching truth, whether you need it or not. I'm getting it out in the air so the devil know we know the truth.
Amen.
We're combating the spirits that are in the season with us. Amen. Galatians 6:9 says, don't be weary in well-doing. My favorite sermon. For in due season you will reap. Say, you will reap.
You will reap
if you faint not. We are in the due season. For what it's worth to you, we are in the due season. Now, some of you have been sowing a long time, as others just got in on this. Some of you are like Indiana Jones when he's getting back in under that door. He gets his hat and jumps back in, but he gets everything. God's full of grace. All you got to do is get in. Get in. And you'll receive all. You receive things from other folks that are getting their blessing. When you're in, say, I'm in. Amen. It's all about, and this is what I'm going to talk about. It's all about being and doing. Being in the right place. Doing what you ought to be doing. It's all about that with God. It's all in the Bible. Mary and Joseph have to find somewhere to birth Jesus. There was no room in the inn, but they found a place, a manger, to birth Jesus. There's always a place for you. May not be in the palace right now, but there's a place for you. And when you find that place and in that position, see, that's what me and Penny stood long enough, hallelujah, by the mercy of God, to be in the right place, doing the right thing when our due season came. We didn't quit. We didn't give up. We didn't cave in. We didn't go nowhere. We cried our way through it. Until our due season came, and because of our due season, I mean now, it's everyday blessing. Say everyday blessing. They overtake you. They overtake your blessing. That's what we're in. See, we came in early, so I'm seeing it now. I'm in this position. I am seeing what I see. And what it's worth is now, some of you coming into your greatness. Some of you coming into your due season. Some of you are laying in the back, but God is good all the time. And it won't do me any good to poke you, prompt you, beg you, wave you. You will get there when it's time for you. Because you see this? The Lord never loses one sheep. If you're my sheep, I'm in trouble with some of you. But see, I know you're the Lord's sheep. And you can bet your bottom dollar, He never loses a sheep. He always brings them in at the right time into the fold. Now, how are you going to get there? I can tell you, don't play with God. I got a testimony about that. But He never loses a sheep. He's a good shepherd. Say, He's a good shepherd. This brings me to my sermon. That was all a warm-up. I got 37 minutes, 35 seconds, all right? Here is, you know, you hear me say this all the time. It's critical, it's critical, it's critical. People look at you. Well, it is. Critical. Critical season. And here is one of the major things we need to major on in this season. If you're going to be about something, be all about it. Here's my topic. If you're going to be about something, be about what you're about. Don't be casual. Turn and tell somebody, don't be casual. You know, it's a big thing in the church now. We come as we are. We dress up. It's casual. I'm not against that. I do on Wednesdays. But I guess I'm a little traditional. I like to wear a good suit. And my wife loves it. She says, you look good every Sunday morning. But If you say you're about something, be about that something. Now, I went over about four of you. Do you understand what I said? If you're going to be about something, dadgum be about something. Don't play with it. Don't be casual about it. I have great respect. Now, I don't agree with them, but sometimes I have respect for drug addicts. Because they're about what they're about. They get up every morning and they're about drugs. They're going to find some drug somehow that day, regardless of the effort and time, the money, the cost. They get up. They don't feel like it. They stink. They look bad. But they're going to be out somewhere peddling something to get their fix. At least they're about something. They're not casual about it. They're steal from their mama. Come on, some of you know you do whatever's necessary. You sell your own soul out if you're truly a drug addict to get a fix. They are about something. They're about what they're about. They're about drugs, so everything about them is about drugs. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They're about what they're about. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
When you're passionate about something, it doesn't matter what it costs. When you're passionate about something, it doesn't matter how much time it takes. I went shopping yesterday with three women who are passionate about shopping. I am not. Too much time. I finally bailed out and went home. I had a good excuse. Got to let the dog out. I left them. Get a ride home the best way you can. I'm out of here. But they're passionate about, women are passionate about shoes. It makes no difference how many shoes you got in your closet. If you're passionate about shoes, you're going to find some shoes in the shoe store. And you're going to put them in the box. Penny has, so many shoes. You can take me in the shoe store. And I'll just look. They buy me shoes. Penny had to make me buy shoes. Shoes are not my deal. These skins I got on were given to me by brothers. I got 32 pairs of shoes given to me. I didn't buy them. I had holes in the one I had and they felt sorry and gave me 32 pairs of shoes. Some of them are very expensive shoes. It would take all my grit in the world to pay $500-$600 for a pair of shoes. But people who are passionate with shoes, I've been shopping with them, man. They don't go over here in the $29.95. I've been behind them. They over here in the $6.95, $7.95, $795, $1,000. Boy, some of you ain't never been to shopping for real shoes. Y'all are still at Pick and Pay. See, that's what a lot of, that's what a lot of Christians still in, Pick and Pay service. Pick and pay. I'm going to the big place. Amen. I'm going to the wholesale house. They're wholesale houses up in Atlanta. You get them shoes. Whatever you're passionate about, you don't care what it costs. I mean, you're concerned about it, but if you really want it, you'll get it. I'm sorry to say this, but most Christians are not passionate about the things of God. Now it's really dying down. Y'all shouting about shoes. Listen to me now. We're going to get out of this after a while, but it needs to be said, man. We are too relaxed. I hear God say, shout more. Holler more. I hear the Spirit say, I love it. I'm coming to it. And when I get there, all your needs to be met. I hear God say, turn it up. Turn it up. See, there's sounds with every move of God. There's sounds. We've been through them. We know when the sound is getting to a certain point. Oh, watch out, man. Watch out now. God's fixing the light in on His people in a good way. And we're in that now. I hear it. It's like, I've heard this before. I've been here before. But it's greater. This sound has harmonics with it. Do you know what I mean? There was a sound in the past that was one sound, but now God is gathering together in this season a bunch of sounds that's making a beautiful tune to God. He's bringing in the evangelist, the prophet, the apostle, the teacher, the pastor, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, till we all come into the unity of God. Full stature, say full stature of God. Glory to God. Passionate people, what makes the world turn around. Thank God there was a man named Ford that was passionate of riding rather than walking. Hey, Henry Ford was his name. It wasn't Henry the Eighth, right? Henry the Ford. All right, I got you. Remember that Henry the Eighth I am, Henry the Eighth. We got a generation that don't know them songs, right? But anyway, I only know a few of them. Hallelujah. Passionate people do not have a problem with time and money. Buckle down. Say buckle down. Hold down. Hold your seat. The reason that we get frustrated when the preacher talks about sacrificing time in the church and money in the church is because we're not passionate for the church. It's going to sound, if you're not mature, it's going to sound, a preacher wants me to come. I don't come to church. I don't give a flying flip, really, what you do. I passed that stage in my life. The word meat hound out of me early in my ministry. I thought I could win everybody, save everybody, get everybody born again, get all disciples, and we're going to usher in the God in a moment. You know, he's going to come down next week when I get through with everybody. And I learned that word, the hound out of you. People who are not passionate, worry. People who are. People who are not visionaries, get on the nerves of people who are visionaries. I learned I'm not trying to get you attend a church. I'm trying to get God into your life. Hear me? When God gets into your life, it makes my job a lot easier. It makes where we can really come into the house of God and rather be takers from God. We're givers to God. And when you give to God, He inhabits the praises of His people. It ain't about me getting you to go nowhere. You just can't. No more, you can't. You can't carry the load. I can't carry it. I do not accept the responsibilities for your lives any longer. What I accept my responsibility is to preach the truth to you in love that you might make a decision on your own. All I do is put the mail in the box. You can read it, throw it in the trash can, let a bird get in there and poop all over it. Or you can let the bees get in the mailbox and Let a wasp build a wasp nest down at the campground. We opened up to get the mail out not long ago, and there was a wasp nest that big in there. You reach your hand in there, been big old red things. All I do is putting the mail in. You better get it out. Say, I better get it out. Yeah. Turn and tell somebody, read your mail. There's probably a note from God in there. Amen. There's probably a note from God. I know it. I know it sounds awful. It sounds a little legalistic for somebody to talk to you about church attendance. But it ain't about church attendance. It's about meeting God. Now, if we're here just going through some notion, somebody printed up 100 years ago and some kind of ritual and all that, but when you really know that God's speaking and giving orders out, and we're building an ark for the savings of our household. He's building something here. You get me? He's birthing something here. It's been said, there is something going on in the house of God. And I'm not just spitting those words out. I know what I know. You wouldn't drive an hour here if you didn't think something was going on. You wouldn't drive an hour and a half. Brad and them come from Griffin. Something is going on. God's speaking. Amen. So we need to be passionate people.
Glory.
You know, these two boys, these two gentlemen are getting up here to preach. They're preaching. Supposed to be welcoming the visitors, which you don't. Didn't do. Supposed to receive the offer, not preach what he didn't do. They're passionate.
Yes, they are.
What are you going to do about it? Let them be passionate. Won't hurt you to hear 3 sermons, 4 sermons, 5 sermons. Brother Willie's in a new place. Wait till he gets free. Man, he'd be up here all preaching too. That'd be everybody preaching. Don't know who's going to preach up and around this place. You can look in their eyes when they walk out. I mean, God, I said, oh, Lord, here we go. Sit down and be calm. I'll preach if I get to preach. They walk out with their eyes about big as silver dollars, man. Sweat pouring down. You done sung an hour, man. Can't you just sit down? Jerry comes storming all out with him. That is so refreshing. So refreshing to people who are of God. Jesus. Passionate people don't care about sacrifice. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Why we get irritated when the preachers talk about money. We're not passionate. Irritated when they're going to have another one of them meetings. Lord, it'll probably last a week. Man, why have so many meetings? You're not passionate about what you ought to be passionate about. You're really not about what you ought to be about as a child of God. You wearing that casual stuff. I've heard it before. People say, all that church wants is my money. Well, when you was at that shoe store and you had all them shoes, don't you know that's all they wanted you to do is get your money? Did you complain about it? Did you say, I'm not going to give you the money? You were passionate about them shoes. You walked up there and gave the man the money and went home and put your shoes on and rejoiced about it. But if the church says anything about money, that's all they want about me is my money. You're not passionate. You're not about what you ought to be about. You've been in the marketplace too long. Turn and tell somebody, you've probably been in the marketplace too long. You're not concentrating on God to give you some orders at headquarters. See, you always keep the headquarters up first. You got no headquarters, you don't have any quarters. If God's our source, let's keep the source up. I'm going to get to some. I know you think you can serve the Lord outside just as good. We'll get to that after a while. I'm going to finish up. But this is a meat. It's just not no time to be casual no more. It's really the time now to be fanatical. It's to have some fanatical about it. I mean, you know, worry somebody. That's good. Just worry the hand out of somebody. You know? Everybody ain't going to be for this. I don't care if everybody's. I'm for those who are. Let's go on in. Let's cross over Jordan. Let's cross over Jordan. Let's cross over Jordan. And let's get our miracle. Get in the land that God promised us. Lands, houses we didn't build. Lands we didn't guard. Get our harvest. I ain't worried about those who are in or out. Everybody ain't going to like this Holland. Shout, slobbering, foaming, preaching. Yeah, it used to bother me. It used to bother me a lot till I began to see that when our worship came up, people were leaving before I preached. And I said, hallelujah, it ain't all my fault. See, I mean, you know, this, you just, we did that way. You either like it, love it, or hate it. You're just afraid of it, or you say, this is not my want. But passionate people are never casual people. Look up the word casual, means relaxed people. Mm. Amazing we even have to talk about it. Church attendance. Makes you think you're in school again, don't it? Perfect attendance at school. You know, the world thinks more about your education than think about the church. They'll put your parents in jail if your kids don't attend the school. But at God's house, we come when we want to. Or don't come at all. Or come, you know, don't come in 6 months and come in waving their flags. I don't understand all that anyway. How can you come in like you on top of the world? You don't even know what's going on in the house of God. See, when God's speaking a prophetic church, this is a prophetic church. And don't, when you hear the word prophetic, you think we prophesy all the time. We do prophesy. But prophetic means mystery. This is a church that preaches mysteries. Sermons are church sermons. But when you preach in directions, bits and pieces of where God has taken us, because that's all we get. I don't care how grand and glorious you are, God never lets you catch up with Him. He's always ahead of you, always instructing the church where to go. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So you never catch up with Him. It's always following Him. Amen? So when you're in a prophetic church like this where God is speaking in mysteries, you get a little piece here, a little piece there. You put it, you build on your ark for the saving of your household. When the rain really comes, you built your ark. And you float. You don't sink. The same rain that took God's people into safety was the same rain that killed everybody else. Everybody says, let it rain, Lord, let it rain, Lord. Me and Pam saying, oh God, do they know what they're talking about? Because when God reigns, He reigns with blessings and judgments. I prophesied this many, 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 many months ago. There was coming a day, a season of time that people, there would be people in the church rejoicing, people in the church crying. People in the church blessed because they planted for this season. People in church that didn't see the season, know the season, didn't plant the season. But you know what the good thing is? Like I said, you jump right in where the season's at. And be passionate about the thing of God. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 2, verse 48, verse 49. And when they saw Him, they were amazed. Jesus was 12 years old. And His mother said unto Him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, my father and I have sought thee sorrowing. If you read the story, they had left Jesus. They thought He was with Him. But Jesus wasn't. They had did a 3 days journey back and forth. They come back and they're questioning Jesus now. Mary is. And Jesus said this, how is it that you sought me? Was she not that I must be about my Father's business? Jesus was all about what He was about. 12 years old. Lost sight of His parents. And when they come back, listen what they said. Verse 46. And it came to pass after 3 days, they found Him in the temple. Say, in the church.
In the church.
sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Everybody wants to be like Jesus. What was Jesus doing at 12 years old? Playing ball, playing soccer. Uh-oh. Don't let me get on all that, surely. If I start preaching about soccer games, I won't have nobody, will I? Softball, soccer ball, football. It's real quiet now. Why are y'all quiet? I'm not against that. What I'm saying is we've been asleep so long, we let the world now take over. Take over. What was God's? All that God wanted us to attend Wednesday night, wonderful Wednesday night service. And that's when everybody had soccer games. That's when they had ball game. That's when they had practice on Wednesday night. We become so casual that the world didn't even recognize that's our night. Come on, that's our night. And I ain't got no names, and I'm not preaching at you. I'm telling you, you need to be at the right place at the right time, because the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is issuing out orders. And the scripture said, don't be entangled with the marketplace. Don't be entangled in the world. But be a good soldier. Concentrate. Listen to the orders from headquarters. We got ladies, Marine Corps. There's a Navy lady back there, 18 years in the Navy. I applaud you ladies, Marines and Navies. And we got somebody who's been in the Army. Lady, haven't we? Maybe we ain't. We will have. They know what it is to stand at attention. Don't you? I don't know what they do to women, but you know, them old movies, they get cussed out. Them old movies, you can't cuss them out now. You can't hit them. You can't hardly make, get down there and do me 50 push-ups. Headquarters, giving out orders. It's a season. We don't need to be casual anymore. Here, listen to me now. Don't turn me off. They found Jesus in the temple. He was going to church. He was all about what he was all about. It was his Father's house.
Yeah.
Don't you understand? The church is not just building and mortars. It's when we meet together, we're meeting in the presence of our Father. Be about it.
Yeah.
Whatever you're about, be about it. And if you're about God's kingdom, be about it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if Jesus didn't come back on Wednesday night. I hear the grunt. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Now I'm not preaching against you if you're working. I'm not preaching against you if you're involved with your children on Wednesday night. Good Lord of mercy. I'm not fighting the system. I'm preaching meat for the meat eaters. All the years I was entangled in preaching, I never made the world part of my church. I mean, I never made my church part of the world. I never let the world dictate for me. Never. Before I become a preacher, never. Never, never. I missed some good jobs. I'm not telling you to do that. You've got to have your faith. You can't live on my faith. But I missed some good jobs because it required me to miss church. And I was all about it. Whatever I'm about, ask my wife. I'm all about it. If I'm about bowling, bless God, I'm all about bowling.
Right.
Yep. I buy the shoes, the bag, I buy the socks, I dress like a bowler. Y'all are not shouting on me now.
Right.
Whatever I'm about, I'm about.
Yes.
But we got this kind of, I don't know what it is. It's just like, the world's, it's just like, La, 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 la. Whatever flies, flies. Whatever. You know, we're wearing a t-shirt. Whatever. If I get there, I get there. Whatever. They ought to be glad I get there. Whatever. Is that the way to be? Whatever about God? Whatever about God? Jesus wasn't. At 12 years old, he let his parents walk away from him. And when he came back, he wasn't on the soccer field. Whew, I'll be glad. I'll get through this in a minute. I know it's dangerous. I know. I know I'm really preaching something that could cost me. But I'm telling you, I'm not a hireling. You are not my source anymore. Ha, 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 ha. I'm not worried about you being here no more. I'm concerned about hearing the voice of God. I long for it. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. When God speaks to you, yes. And you leave everything and follow Him. I've been there. I know what it is to leave everything and follow Him. Yes. And He's made up for all of it. Yes. Plus more. He made up for it. Will He made up for you not being the world champion boxer? He made up for it. That's what my passion is about. It's hearing God. I'm uncomfortable when I don't hear Him. I'm afraid of me when I don't hear Him. I can't live that way. I was birthed in it. What I'm about. I'm all about it. Hallelujah. Call me churchy. Call me traditional. Call me legalistic. Whatever you want to call me. But I'm telling you, there's just something about meeting God in the gathering of His people. Yes. No ball game can beat it. No soccer game can beat it. No good movie can beat it. I've been to a lot of them. Nothing can beat us gathering together, joining arms in a worship service, worshiping God, singing His praises, talking about Him, looking up and see Him in our midst. Nothing can beat that. Nothing. 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 Is any better than seeing a couple who had really, I lost hope in Dina and Lee many, many, many months ago. I told them, I said to them, I can't tell you anything else. You've been sitting here 13 years. You ain't heard nothing. I don't know. I can't help you. You might as well just get ready for whatever come. There's nothing no greater than see God's light turn on in Lee's life. And Lee begins to hear the voice of God. And he begins to move up and take authority of his life. There's nothing no good. No marriage counselor could have did that. No pill could have did that. No money could have did that. You could have given them $20,000, but they couldn't get together. But when God puts people together, what, you can't pay for that. Can't pay for it. Dr. Phil can't do that. Dr. Phil cannot do that. He can give you some advice. He puts in a little God in it here and there. But He can't put together what God can only put together.
That's right.
That's right. Hallelujah. I hear people say this. I got 6 minutes to go through here, but I'm going to go through it. I hear people say all the time, I don't have to go to church to worship God. You hear that? Let me ask you, where do you read that in the Bible? Where does it say in the Bible you don't have to go assemble together? You can get it on your own. Where does it say that? Please show it to me at the church or call me up on the phone. You won't find it because this is what the Bible says, Hebrews 10:24-25. Yeah. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah.
It don't say we can get it thrown home, at home. It says don't forsake the assembling together. If we really understood the power that we have, we could shut down the hell holes of this city in one service if we really hooked up with one another. Cancer could not survive in the gathering of God's people if we hooked up in one spirit, one faith, see? One Lord, one baptism. Psalm 133, the psalmist says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together, not be segregated somewhere off. How precious and good it is for us to get together." Say, get together.
Get together.
This is what it's like. It's like the precious anointment upon the head that ran down the beard. Even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descendeth upon the mountains of Zion. For there, where the dew is, where the anointing is, the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. He commanded the blessings. When the brothers came together and the anointing flows, God's commanding blessings when we get together. God, I see them, bless them. I command a blessing on them. I see them, they're hooked up and one together. One spirit, one Lord, one baptism. Meeting together in the house of God, assembling with one another, loving one another, provoking one another with love. God is there. Say, God's there. Luke 4:16 says, "And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up," talking about Jesus, "and his custom was," say custom was, "he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read." It was the custom of Jesus to go to church. I guess we make this thing up as we go. I don't think we should make this thing up as we go. I think we should listen to the Word, don't you? And it's amazing. We want what Jesus did without doing what Jesus did. It was his custom. He didn't know anything else. That's like, it's my custom. I don't get up on Sunday and see if I want to go to church. I don't look at my fuel tank. I already got my car clean to go to the house of God. See, I'm fanatical. I think you ought to be clean and your car ought to be clean when you come to church. I can't help it. I get my car clean. Yeah. If it don't, it's because it's been raining or something. I clean up to get cleaned up.
Amen.
It's my custom. You understand? I don't look on Wednesday and see what I got to do Wednesday. When I get up, it's Wednesday, wonderful Wednesday. It's church night. I did that before I become a preacher. I wasn't a preacher when Penny married me. But did I miss church? I got married. I wasn't even right with God, but it was my custom. We got married. We went to Gatlinburg on Sunday. But we stopped in Atlanta at the Regency. We went on to Cherokee. We stayed right out of Cherokee. Was going to Gatlinburg. Wedding, got married, me and Penny together by ourselves. Do all that stuff, you know. Y'all looking at me, wow. Never been nowhere. Chance to be away with my woman.
Come on,
yeah. I got up Wednesday and said, let's go home, go to church tonight. And that's what we did, Willie. We left. We left. Wow. Only crazy people like that. Well, I'm crazy then. I didn't even know God like I know him in there. But my custom was, I ought to be at church.
Yeah.
That's where my brothers are, my sisters are. That's where God's at. That's where the Father speaks to me.
Hallelujah.
It's been my custom.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm preaching this because we've got a generation. Most churches don't have Wednesday night. It's sad we don't have Sunday night. And I'm going to tell you right now, when this place gets full enough, we're going to have Sunday night services.
Yeah.
We're going all the way. Say, we're going all the way for Jesus. Man, we're going to be rocking and rolling in this house.
Yeah.
It was my custom.
Yeah.
Say, you crazy, Pastor Mike. I sure am. My custom. I'm just going to tell it like it is. It takes a lot of church for this boy.
Yeah.
And I just say it takes a lot for that boy over there.
Yes,
we have to be in church.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the pieces. Time close. This is the peacefulest place of my life. It's when I'm in the house of God.
Amen.
I feel your love. See, some people have to have love. I'm one of those. It's all about me. Sure is. I love that love. I love that love. I love to feel people's love. I love to see you. I love to talk to you. I miss you when you're not here. It's the house. It is not casual to me. I think about church, like I said, on Wednesday morning. I'm fixing clothes. David said this in Psalm 122. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You ought to be about what you be about. You ought to be, being about is being about it. Being about it is being about it. If you're about church, then you ought to be here when the doors open. I'm moving right along. Verse 5 and 6 says, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husband that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruit. If you're going to master anything, you just need to be one thing. See, we got a lot of folks. I'm a jack of all trades and master of none. See, that's where the church is. We master of all things, but I mean, we got all these trademarks, but we're not mastering anything. And that scripture says also in the Message Bible, it says, it's the diligent farmer that gets the harvest.
Yep. Yes.
1 Corinthians 9:24 said, know ye not that which run the race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you might obtain. Amen. And every man that striveth for the master is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. If you're going to run, bless God, run. If you're going to fight, bless God, fight. Whatever you do, do it. Be about what you are about. I know. One more scripture and we're closing, I promise. Turn to this one and we will get out of here. Matthew 8:19-20. I don't have to go to church to worship. We're here. Listen to this. Matthew 18:19-20. Again, I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered there together in my name, there am I in the midst of them.
Yes.
Now here, listen to me. There's a big difference in what God can do and what He will do. Let me say that again. There's a big difference in what God can do and what He will do. Amen? Now, God can show up at your house in the middle of your refrigerator, right in front of your refrigerator, on any given day, Sunday, Wednesday. He can show up at your house, and He can, right in front of your refrigerator, bless the socks off you. He can do that. But do I know He will? No, I don't know absolutely that He will. But what I do know, He said, and His will is what He does. That when we gather together in His name, He is. Not maybe, could, might. He is what? In the midst of us. God can do a lot of things, but will He? He will be here if we gather in His name. I don't know about in front of your refrigerator. Isaiah 46:11. Jerry done said this one numbers. This is Isaiah 46:11. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. God will always honor His word. He won't always do what you want Him to do, but He will do what His word says He will do. Numbers 23. And God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? I don't know about your refrigerator, but I know about the house. Now here, I'm trying to close. Listen. When we gather together as a body, we provoke God to be with us. He had to honor His word. He had to honor His word. Don't lose me right now. This is a whole niche of what I'm getting to. When we gather together, we provoke God to be in the midst, because He said wherever we are gathered, He is in the midst of it. Amen. When we meet together, God is in the midst. We provoke God to be in the midst, and we repel the devil not to be in the midst. How could you say that? Because listen, think about this. The Lord is the good shepherd. That's what the scripture said. He's the good shepherd. Right? And so when we meet together, the Lord, then He's the good shepherd. And any time the good shepherd's in present, the fox can't come in and get the sheep. Ain't no fox going to take on the good shepherd. Ain't no devil going to take on God. So if God's in the midst, the fox can't get in and eat your lunch. But if you at home watching TV on Sunday, doing your thing on Sunday, if you out on the fishing bank on Sunday, or you wherever you at Sunday, you're not attending the church, you're a good target for the fox. I know you say that's legalistic. I'm telling you the truth. When we gather together in His name, there's no devil in hell that can come in here and grab anybody. This is a safe house. But when you're off doing your own thing, your custom is not being committed to what you ought to be committed in. Doing your thing. I've seen it over and over. I've seen old people pray for a blessing. They get blessed. God gives them a job. Won't go on. They buy the boat. And the boat keeps them out of church. And you know what? It won't be long. They lost the boat, the job, the boat, and the family. Now, like I said, you do whatever you want to do. I ain't trying to get you to come to church. I don't have to have people come to church. I got people that love me. If I was telling them I need money, they'd give me money. Because they know what it's all about. It's not about the money from your pocketbook no more. It's not about you having you come here and look at you. It's about you being here so God can speak to you. Because I love you and God loves you. And we in this all together. And the more you come, the more God speaks. If there was nobody here, God, I know He could speak to me. But when people gather in the midst, two or three, He is in the midst. So I don't know what you're about, but I'm about the house of God. And in this season, I wouldn't miss a thing.
Right.
I wouldn't miss a thing.
Yeah.
Now, if you miss, does God hate you? No. Are you going to throw you out of church? No.
Right.
We'll get us on you? No. I'm trying to teach you. If you can be here, it's the best place to be. Because headquarters is sending out orders. Some of you, like I said, are on the verge of greatness. Some of you are on the verge of a witty invention that will change you, your family, your church, and all your friends' life. Change them all. Because that witty invention is going to make you millions. Some of you, sitting here, God's going to empty out favor on you like you would not know what favor ever was in the house of God, because you are coming to the house. That's where He is. He's in the midst. He's going to pour out so much favor on you, you're going to go from the bottom to the top. You're going to go from the zero to the hero. You're going to go from the dungeon to the palace. Because where we assemble together, He is in the midst. My precious family that's on the journey of becoming a captain or whatever he's coming and whatever he's going to do. God done sent him around for a second time.
Yeah.
And we keep telling him, now you're going to get your stuff this time.